Okay, well, let's go to the offering this morning. Looks like we'll have to do that teaching again. It's amazing how it doesn't stick, eh? It like slides down and gets... One of these days, it'll just be one of you guys doing it. No. All right, anyway. So let's have a look at some scripture here this morning. Faith and patience are needed to harvest your finances. You know, when you sow the natural seed into the ground as a farmer, there's a season that has to go by while that seed grows, and then there's a season while that seed is forming, growing to its full maturity before you harvest. Isn't that true? Yes. It's a very natural process that goes on. Well, in the spirit realm, when we give our finances, exactly the same thing happens. A lot of people don't understand that principle, but Jesus taught us that principle. And here is a scripture for you. In Ecclesiastes, it says, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after how many days?" Okay, now waters is always refers to people in the Bible. It's a symbolic term. And your bread is that which sustains you. So you give that which sustains you to the people, and then it comes back to you after many days. And a lot of folk, what they do is when they hear about the fact that, you know, Jesus says, "Give and it shall be given to you," they say, "Well, I'm going to try that." And then they give and they wait to see what happens. Truly, I had a lady in our church in South Africa. She was a multi-zillionaire. And she had like 7 farms. She was a very wealthy person. She was Jewish, so maybe that helped for this particular, I don't know. So when she heard about this, she decided to give $100 and then to see when it came back, if she'd do it again. And she told me that that night she had to have some medicinal whiskey to help her go to sleep because she had given so much. True story. And she was, well, she used to do that medicinal stuff on a regular basis, but because the pastor was there, she was, you know, making out like it was, "Hey, you had to do this." But anyway, and she waited and waited and waited and waited and waited to get, I said, "That's not the way it works, sweetie. It's just not the way it works, okay? You either do it or you don't do it. And if you do it and you get to become a giver, you need to understand that there's a process it goes through." So there could be many days before your harvest comes. Let's look at another scripture. So in Galatians 6 and verse 9, it said, "Let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time, at the appointed season, we shall reap." We shall reap. If we do not, loosen and relax our courage and faint. Okay? And you know, this is one of the tough things because finances is such a practical thing. All of us have to deal with money on a daily basis. When you're buying food, buying groceries, paying the rent, paying electricity, doesn't matter. It's something that we can count, we can check our bank and all this kind of stuff. So when the time comes to actually give to the gospel through the church and to give to Jesus to help, there's always this strain that happens. Well, am I going to be able to make ends meet? You know, if I give, will I go without? And maybe if I just give a little, it'll be okay. And so when we hear the truth that once we've sown, it goes like into a spiritual field and grows and matures and comes back as a harvest, we get all excited about it. Well, that's great. That's exciting. I'm looking forward to the harvest. And then we do it, and 7 days later, we haven't seen anything. So we wonder, well, that was last Sunday. I'm not going to do it again this Sunday. But here the scripture says, don't faint. Don't faint. Keep on doing good. Keep on doing good. There's an appointed season. There's a time coming. When that you've sown, that seed, it'll come to maturity. It'll come back. So don't quit on your seed. Don't give up on your seed. Okay? Allow the principle to work for you. In the kingdom of God, people are all works by principles. Everything works by principles. It's not luck. It's not like he who prays the best prayer gets it. You know, he who prays the lucky prayer. No, it doesn't work that way. It works for everybody. Okay? Let me give you one more scripture. So in Hebrews 6:12, it says, "Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Notice faith and patience. So when you give today, it's going to require faith. Because many of you are going to like weigh up the balance sheet and say, "This is tough. This is tight." And so when you let go, it's an act of faith. You say, "Well, I'm going to have to give this by faith because we don't really have enough to get through the month." So you're giving by faith. You understand what I'm saying? You're giving by faith. Then the next thing that has to kick in is the patience aspect. You have to stand fast, stand and stand and stand, and don't quit on God. Don't give up on God. Don't turn around and say, well, it's not working for me. Don't do that, all right? You have to stand tough. You have to stand tough, okay? Especially, that doesn't change, but especially in the beginning when you're just learning these things, you have to stand and you have to stand and you have to stand because the devil wants to try and rob you of that principle. If he can get that principle out of you, when it's just like a tiny seed, it's easy to pull a little weed out, a little tiny seed, easy to pull that thing out, okay? When it grows into a huge tree, not so easy to move. Even the big storms and the hurricanes can't move it. The devil knows that. So when you just start out on these things, the devil comes immediately. Immediately he comes and he tries to talk you out of it. He tries to say, well, that's for other people. Let the rich give. You don't have to give. It doesn't work for you. Look how you're struggling. They should be given to you, man. The church ought to be giving to you. You're so bad off. All these thoughts will be coming to you. I'm telling you now, the way you give out of this is you give your way out of the ghetto. You give your way out. And God has made it possible for every one of us to be equally blessed. It doesn't matter the color of our skin. It doesn't matter what language we speak. It doesn't matter what continent we're born on. This works for whosoever will do it. And all I'm saying to you is do it in faith. Give it joyfully. That's why the people are shouting. They give it joyfully. Lord, I'm giving this happy. If it's $1, $1, it doesn't matter. Okay? Just don't squeeze a dollar until George Washington gets tears in his eyes. Don't do that because that's not giving it happy. You know, give it happy. That's why the guys are shouting. That they're happy when they're giving, okay? So give it happy and then stand by faith and say, God, I give it. I've done what you told me to do. And you know what? I believe that you're going to take care of me. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. Lord, as we give our tithes and our offerings today, we thank you that we can give by faith. We can sow by faith and we will do it by faith simply because your word said so. I'm asking you, Lord, that you help us to stand in patience and not to lose heart. Not to give up when things get tough, when the end of the month comes rushing in, when problems occur, not to faint and to give up, but to continually remember, if God said it, he'll take care of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So if you need an envelope, there should be an envelope somewhere in the seat pocket near you. If you would like to use a credit card, the credit card will work on that little piece of paper. And debit cards will also work. If you're using a check, you don't need any of those envelopes and so on. Okay? All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're excited?
Yes.
So you're a believer, right?
Yes.
You're a believer. A believer. A believer believes. That's why you're a believer. That's not hard. So listen up, my dear Christian friends. You are a Christian because you are a believer. What is it that you believe? Hold your Bible up. That's it. That's what you believe. You believe the Bible. You believe the Word of God. That's why you're a believer. So you have a choice. I either disbelieve or I believe. And if I believe, I believe it from the book of indexes to the book of maps. Right? Right from the very beginning to the book of revolutions. You believe the whole thing, cover to cover. Isn't that the truth? Okay, see, that's the whole thing. We don't choose portions that we're going to believe. We either believe it or we don't. So we stop arguing with it. The moment we decide, I am a believer. I have become a believer. I believe in Jesus. Then I believe the Bible is true. I don't argue with the Bible after that point because the Bible is the source of my life. The Bible is where everything comes from that I need. Everything comes out that book. All right? Everything I need to know about life comes out that book. So I don't want to be arguing with it. Right? So it's like when you make the decision to get married. And you choose, I'm going to get married. How many of you know that after that, fussing with her and fighting with her doesn't help? Just relax. Accept what she says as the truth. Do whatever she says, and you'll have a happy marriage. Your days of arguing are over. See, I have a couple of people who've been married a long time. How many guys are going to agree with me? I thought the woman would agree first, actually. Amen. Amen. Now, the thing is this. Seriously, when we choose to marry Jesus, that's what it's about. When we choose to become one with Him and to accept Him as our Lord and Savior, we stop arguing. We stop trying to say, well, science said and this person said and so-and-so said. Forget that. We're all into what the Word says. All right? So hold your Bible in the air now. If you brought your Bible, hold your Bible in the air and say this out loud with me. This is my Bible. I believe it. I'm a believer. Every word. This is God's word. This is what God said to me. This will work in my life. I believe it. I plan to do it. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do what His word said. It's going to work for me because this is God's word. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, this morning I want to talk to you for a little bit along the subject about how faith works. I'm going to peel the onion away and literally take you inside. I'm going to show you some principles in the Bible that the casual reader of the Bible will not see. Okay? Like, I'm going to show you some secrets in the Bible. And these secrets in the Bible will cause you to have whatever your heart desires. Anybody listening?
Yes.
All right. Anybody listening? So here we're going to, I'm going to show you what Jesus said to us as to how we should have not only our needs met, but even beyond our needs and walk in abundance in every area in our life. I'm talking about health. I'm talking about peace. I'm talking about finance. I'm talking about everything. Okay? I'm of the opinion that when I became a Christian, that God wanted me to have a better life than I had when I was a child of darkness. Yes. Amen. Is that too far-fetched to believe?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm of the opinion that God, when He said, listen, son, come over this side, become a believer, have what I've got for you, that He was promising me something and offering me something far better than what I had. He was offering me stuff that I couldn't have without Him. He was offering me a relationship I couldn't have without Him. It wasn't only heaven. It wasn't only come to Jesus and have heaven. And then live the rest of your life in poverty and the rest in sickness and in trouble and barely get along and strife and all the mess and muck that you've been in all your life. And please, God, kill me so I can go to heaven.
Yeah. Now we're talking.
What are you taking this morning, man? Good for you. Good for you. Fired up. All right. Matt, I haven't forgotten about you. We're going to be praying for you before the end of the service, okay? So don't go away. All right. Anyway, so now I'm fired up too. So I believe that God wants us to have everything that He has provided for us and He has made a way for us to get it. So I want to show you this secret, okay, on how to get it, on how to get it. Are you ready? Okay. So let's turn, please, to the first scripture found in Mark 11:22. And it's Jesus teaching and He is telling us how faith works, how faith works. And the truth of the matter is, we don't receive anything from God unless we receive it by faith. We cannot receive anything from God unless we receive it by faith. We don't get it for wishing. We don't get it for hoping. We don't get it for praying. We don't get it for anything else. Our good works, our good service, doesn't matter. All those things might be good. But the only way we ever receive from God is if we use the principle of faith. The force of faith has got to be used. So Jesus says, He answered them, He said to them, have faith in God. Now, some translations actually say have the faith of God or have the kind of faith God has. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, what things you ask when you pray. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. All right, so here's a huge promise. This is a huge promise. Jesus starts off, and if you haven't heard the first four lessons I've been giving on this subject, please go to our website, thepromisesd.com or .org, and you can download the sermons on the integrity of God's Word and use your words. I highly encourage you to go back and listen to those so that you can be fully built up and understand and work with us as we unfold this revelation and understanding, okay, because that's building each week. So here Jesus says to them, we speak to the mountain. Notice we're speaking to the mountain. We're not talking to God. In this particular, he says, you talk to the mountain, which is the problem, whatever it is, and you tell the problem to go jump in the sea. And the problem listens to you if you believe what you say. That's the condition. If you believe what you say, then the mountain will go jump in the sea, whatever that mountain is in your life. All right? And verse 24, he said, using this principle, therefore, if you use this principle by speaking to the mountain, you believe in your heart, then when it comes to prayer and you use this principle in prayer, this is how you do it. So if you want to know how to get your prayers answered, listen up now. Jesus is going to tell you. This is how you get your prayers answered. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, whatever you ask when you pray, please tell me what's left out. Nothing is left out, is it? In actual fact, the only part that's left out is that which is contrary to the Word of God. Okay? Anything contrary to the Word of God, God is not going to give you. You ask for a second wife, He's not going to give you a second wife. You can't handle the one you got. What are you going to do with two? Okay? So He's not going to do that. He's not going to do something illegal. He's going to stay within the confines of His Word. So that's an important aspect. But whatever you ask that's in line with the Word of God, whatever you ask, He says, Jesus says, when you pray, believe that you receive them. Believe that you receive them. When you pray, believe you receive them. At the time that you pray, believe you receive them. Okay? At the time you pray, believe you receive them, and you will have them. Sometime in the future, it's going to show up. The problem is you have to believe that you receive it at the time that you pray. That's the difficult part. Now, I went to the scriptures and I looked up this word receive. Receive. 9 different occasions, this word is actually translated take. It's actually translated take. And in this particular verse, it is translated take. Take. Now that is a different take on it, isn't it? Because what he said here, now, of course, the translators, at their discretion, if they see that the word take doesn't really apply, they could use the word receive. So I'm saying it gets translated either this way or that way. But it starts off with, in this particular verse, that it's to take. So I'd like to propose to you that the principle of faith that Jesus is teaching here to his disciples was this. Whatever you ask for in prayer, you must believe that it has been granted to you. And you must take it. Must believe it's been granted to you and you must take it. Simply stated, faith takes what has been given. Faith takes what has been given. I'd like to do a little illustration here. I'm going to ask Matthew, since he's visiting with us today, to help me with this illustration. Matthew, if you would, please. Thank you so much. So Matthew, I want you to ask me for my watch, okay? I want you to imagine now this is a prayer that's going on, and I'm God, and I've got the answers to whatever he wants. Okay, so he prays, and I want you to pray and ask for my watch. Short prayer.
Lord, may I have your watch.
Okay. yeah, right. Okay. And I say, yes, you may. And he believes. What does he believe? That he has the watch. I'm going to ask you, does he have the watch? What are you doing? He's taking the watch. He's taking the watch. You see, for the longest time, what we thought is this: you have to receive rather than take. And this is what it would look like. So he prays the prayer, and you believe that you have the watch. And then this is what we believe happens. Am I right? We believe that God comes along and puts it on you. This is how you receive it. But how many of you know that's not how we receive? How do we receive? What do you got to do? Believes he's received it, and then he what? Takes it. So God says yes. This is God saying yes. And him reaching out and actually taking it is the conclusion to this prayer transaction. Different take on it? Does that help you? Okay, so anything that you're asking God for in prayer, you have to believe and then take, and you shall have it. So you notice that taking something like this is more of an aggressive, it's more of an assertive thing. It's not passive. What we have been doing, I honestly believe, what we've been doing is praying the prayer and then being passive. I receive. And it's a passive mode that we're in. It's not the assertive mode of I'm actually taking from God what he has already agreed you can have. Give him a good round of applause and give my watch back. Okay? All right. So that's what I want you to get out of that. So if you believe when you pray, you will receive it. If you believe when you pray, you will receive it. So a believer, as I started out saying, is a possessor. A believer possesses something. A believer possesses salvation. A believer takes something and then owns it. There's a transfer of ownership that occurs, and he becomes a possessor of the thing that he prayed for. Are you following me?
Yes.
All right, good. Stay with me now. So, listen to this statement that I wrote down, and I probably got it up there for you as well. Faith is not expecting God to do, but believing that he has already done it.
Yes.
See, faith is always a past tense position. When I'm still waiting for something to come, then I'm hoping. I'm hoping it's going to be this way. But faith believes, possesses, and owns, takes possession of, and has taken the very thing that they've asked for. So I'm going to show you today how to do that. Because that is the key. How do we do it? And I'm going to tell you how to do it. You're actually going to use your words. Now, we've been talking about using words, but you're going to end up using your words in a very particular way. I'm going to show you, first of all, how God does it. And then once we see how God does it, then we'll be able to do it. Because he's going to teach us how to do it. He's our father. We're the children. He's going to teach us. All good fathers teach their children how to be like them and how to do stuff like they do. Okay? So go with me to 1 John chapter 5. Go to 1 John chapter 5. I want to reemphasize this, that faith is not expecting God to do, but actually believing that God has already done. 1 John chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible. And it goes like this. And this is the confidence. Everybody say confidence.
Confidence.
See, confidence speaks of assurance. I'm confident. I'm assured. This is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness, which we have in him. We have this in God. This is our confidence in God. This is the assurance that we have in God. We are sure that if we ask anything, well, that sounds familiar. If we ask anything, make any request according to his will, and we spoke about this, that would mean in line with his word, would it not? His will is his word, so we have to ask in line. We can't ask outside of God's will and expect him to do it. That's not going to work. Okay? So we have to ask inside his will. And we know what his will is because he's written his will out for us to read. So here the scripture says, if we ask anything, make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, He listens to and hears us. He listens to and hears us. He listens to and hears us. He listens to. He listens to. God is listening to you. And he hears you. Remember the movie Avatar? Back to that. When they said, I see you. I see you. And that is the sense that you are being recognized, appreciated, understood, and there's an awareness of you, and every human being wants that. Every human being wants to be, when they're in conversation with somebody, they want that person to see them, recognize me, appreciate me, hear me. One of the greatest complaints we ever hear in marriage counseling is, he never listens to me. He just never listens. He just doesn't hear. Okay? There's your problem right there. And so they teach you in various protocols of selling techniques and dealing with customer service people, listen to the person. Give them their attention. Because if you give them their attention, they immediately relax and calm down and feel, you're seeing me. I'm being heard. You're talking. Okay, you're hearing me. You understand?
Yes.
Okay. That's what we have when we pray according to his will. You have his attention. He's listening. You've got God's attention. Know that. Know that. Don't beg him to listen. Don't, oh God, listen to my cry. He's probably going, stop the crying already. Okay? You have his attention. Now, verse 15. And if, since we positively know that he listens to us, whatever we ask, please say whatever.
Whatever.
Say it again, whatever.
Whatever.
Now say whatever we ask.
Whatever.
Now say whatever I ask.
Whatever.
We also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have. See that? See the tense? That we have. It's granted us as our present possession. The Amplified explains what the Greek is saying. The present possession, the request that we made of him. So when we pray, according to his will, we know he hears us. And because we know that he hears us, we have this great confidence, this great assurance that we have as our present possession, that which we've asked of him. It's not going to happen in the future. We already have it now. This is Bible. This is right in the book. And since we're believers, this is in the book. We're not going to argue with it, are we?
No.
We're going to take this and we say, this is in the book. This is a principle God is trying to teach us. And it's a principle that we have been given so that our prayers can be answered. And you can understand now why so many people pray and 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 never get their prayers answered. Why are they not getting their prayers answers? Because here's the principle. This is how you're supposed to do it. And if you don't do it this way, God is not obligated. He isn't. But if you do it this way, he does it instantly. Instantly. You don't have to be begging forever. He does it immediately. So then faith, according to this, faith takes what has been given to us. It takes it. How do we do it? I said we're going to have to use our words. We're going to have to use our words in a particular way to get it. Write this down. Write this statement down, please. Somewhere write this statement down. In order to make this happen, this is what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to speak of the future as if it is the present. We're going to have to speak of the future as if it is the present. Say it another way. Write this one down. We're going to have to speak of something desired as though it was a reality. Speak of something desired as though it was a reality. Remember the illustration when I had Matthew take the watch? Let's just go through this one more time. Matthew, come and help me again. So he prays, God, I need a watch. Go ahead, pray.
God, I need a watch.
And I say, sure, that's in line with my will. It's in the word, no problem. And I hand the watch, but he has to take the watch. Okay. All right. Go ahead and pray for the watch again.
God, I need a watch.
What? You already have one. You see, what happens in the natural, in the physical, it's transferred. But in the spirit realm, when you pray, and God says, go, it's done, and he stretches out and believes God, he's taken it, this watch is now en route. Yes. Is it not?
Yes.
He's received it, and I have let it go. It's en route. It hasn't arrived there, but how would it be, like, here it is, it's en route, okay, there it is. It's en route. And he goes the next day and prays again, same thing. And he prays and says, God, I need a watch. And I'm looking at him thinking, what's that? You don't get that? What's the problem? If he does that the next day, he's actually saying, you didn't give it to me. I don't believe I received it. I haven't got it. But how could you claim to have taken it and believe that you've got it if the very next day you're asking for the same thing again? You get that? Okay. All right. Thank you, Matthew. Okay. So he then has to, after that prayer for the watch and believe he's received it, you know what he has to do? Thank you, Lord, for my watch. Thank you, Lord, for my watch. Okay? Thank you, Lord, for my watch. He didn't have to ask for it again because God heard, and the scripture we just read, the scripture here says that we have with settled and absolute knowledge that we have been granted to us as our present possession. Not future possession, present possession. So he has to then say, thank you, Lord, for my beautiful watch. And everybody else around him thinks he's lost his mind. Those Christians are crazy people. Crazy, 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 crazy. That's okay, sweetheart. We're getting our prayers answered. Call me names. Don't matter. No matter what you call me. That's okay. I'm doing what the Word said. I'm doing what the Word said. Okay? I'm going to live long. I'm going to prosper. I'm going to have all my needs met. And God's going to answer my prayers. Call me anything you like. Okay. So we're going to have to do something. Now let's see how God does it. Go to Romans chapter 4. Go to Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. This is exactly how God does it. Just tell me when you're there. Some of you are cheating. You look at the screen. You're not there. Okay, yeah, okay, you got your iPads out and your iPods and your phones and everything else. All right. Watch this now. Therefore, the promise comes by faith. How does the promise come?
By faith.
How does the promise come?
By faith.
The promise comes by faith. You see, there's no other way the promise comes. Mm-hmm. Scripture tells us it comes by faith, which means you have to believe for the promise. Let me give you a little illustration here. Did Jesus die for the whole world to be saved?
Yes.
Died for everybody?
Yes.
Everybody who ever wants to can go to heaven.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. But do you know some people that still are not believers? Haven't turned their life over to Jesus? Haven't received the cross?
Yes.
Do you know some of them?
Yes.
Is that God's fault?
No.
It's not God's fault, is it? So it's available. It's been given freely. Why haven't they taken it? Simply because they haven't believed. Believe and faith. So the promise of salvation, the promise of heaven, the promise of whatever God has provided, only comes to those who exercise believing faith in what God has provided. Do you see that? Okay? And that's true with everything in the Bible. It's true with everything. Okay? God is not like got a box of M&Ms there and he says, okay, let me think today. I'm going to give you a red one. I don't want a red one. I want a green one. That's my will. You take the red one. and I have a green one for you. Lord, I'm playing for the red one. Now I'm jealous that she's got the red one. Shut up and take the green one. He's not like handing out M&Ms, just like handing out these blessings. If that was true, people, why would we ever pray? It would make no sense to pray. Because he's just giving you the color M&M he wants to. Whenever he wants to. So quit praying. Wait for the M&M to come. How long have you been doing that? 30 years. One of these days they're going to get it. People think that's how Christianity works. When God decides to give you the M&M, then you get it. Well, then we wouldn't have to pray. And faith is not necessary. But God is saying everything that he has provided for us is freely available. If you will believe me, you can have it. If you'll just trust me, you can have it. Well, what about you? But I'm going to believe him. I'm reading this in the book. This is what he said in the book, and I'm a believer. I believe the book. He wouldn't be lying to me. This is what he said in the book. I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to receive it. How about you? All right. So the promise comes by faith. That it might be by grace and that it might be guaranteed. Hello. Hello. The promise is by grace, which means unearned, undeserved. Unearned, undeserved. God freely gives it to you. Unearned, undeserved, and it's guaranteed. In other words, you can take this one to the bank. Well, probably not. Don't take that bank. Okay, but it is guaranteed. It's guaranteed, right? This is a promise he's not going to back off from. He gives it to you freely by grace. Grace means you don't have to earn it. You don't have to deserve it. It doesn't matter how good you are. You got to understand that. You didn't get saved because of how good you are. You got saved because of how bad you are. Yeah. Being bad is what qualified you. Right? Jesus said he didn't come for the righteous. He came for the sinners. So you want to be a righteous dude on that side? Hey, whatever. I'm going to claim to be a sinner and saved by grace. God's going to do it because it's his grace. All I'm going to do is believe him for it. And it's mine. Now, that doesn't mean I want to continue living in sin. I tried that. It's not good. It doesn't work. Okay? This doesn't work. So we get out of that and start living for the Lord. Okay, so the promise comes by faith. That it may be by grace and it might be guaranteed to all. Guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Not only to those that are under the law, or from the law, but also to those who are the faith of Abraham. We as Gentiles came because of the faith of Abraham. All right. So listen to this. Grace is God's ability. We get empowered by his ability. Grace is God's ability. Correct? And faith is our response to God's ability. So God, in his omnipotent power, and everybody knows God can do all things. There's nobody on this earth that thinks God can't do all things. Everybody, you got to say, can God do anything? Well, if there is a God, yes, he would be able to do all things. That would be the answer from an atheist. He can do all things, okay? But we as believers, we as Christians, also believe God can do all things. We believe God can do all things. And now we exercise our faith in that. We exercise our faith. We actually believe it for ourselves. You ask people, can God do all things? Can he do anything? Yeah, I've seen him do stuff for other people. I've seen him do lots of stuff for other people. What about you? Well, I'm not so sure about me. Well, there's the problem. You have faith for other people. God will do something for somebody else, but he won't do it for you. Why? Why won't he do it for you? Well, you have to believe it that he'll do it for me. I have to believe it. I have to put my faith in. I have to say, God, I'm asking you to do it for me. And I believe that there's scripture to prove that you will do it for me. So God's grace gives it. My faith is a response to his grace. Do you see that? In other words, what I'm saying is this. I'm not saying that you use faith indiscriminately and force God to do something that he didn't want to do. God already sent Jesus to die on the cross to show his love and said he will not withhold anything from us because he's already given us Jesus. What else could we ask for since he's already given us Jesus? Seriously, if you ask God for $1 million, is he going to step back and say, whoa, that's a sacrifice I can't make? That is just like too much. It'll put me in overdraft if I do that. Where do you think I'm going to get that kind of money? No. You're asking too much. You're asking too much. My Bible says that God is able and willing to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or even think. Seriously, God can do so much that if you did think about it, you'd fry your brain. Your brain cannot comprehend how big God is and what he can do for you. So don't ever think that your puny request is so big it's going to bankrupt God. You have to lay some angels off. Can't do it for you. That's just like too much. He said to her, who do you think you are? Asking for stuff like that. You got to get it. You got to get it. God is that big. He's that big. So when we exercise our faith in that kind of a God and that size of his provision, it's not that we are trying to force God to do something that he hasn't decided to do. He's already decided to do it. All we're doing is saying, yay, I believe that. I receive that. I take that because he's already done it. You know, Psalm 23 speaks about God setting a table for us in the what? Presence of our enemies. We sit down to lunch, big old fat lunch. And then he anoints us and our cup what? Runs over. You're spilling, God. Oh, I haven't noticed. That's too much. Oh, really? Well, there's more to come. Yeah. No, but God, my cup's running over. Oh, really? You want to see something run over? Check this out. You're being excessive. That's not excessive. I sent Jesus to die for you. Come on. I love it. I love it. We should ought to be back somewhere in the South right now, right? We'd be people running around the church now, right? Throwing stuff, going on like this. The visitors would be hiding under the chairs thinking, oh, what am I in here? We're a happy bunch because the word is true. God has promised us so many things. Amen. Let's just give the Lord a good praise. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Let's come on. Praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, it's our responsibility to believe we receive, and it's God's business to make sure we get it. Let me say that again. It's our responsibility to believe we receive, and it's God's business to make sure we get it. And we get so mixed up in this that we try and take over God's business. So we try and make it happen. And we go out there and do all kinds of schemes and things and whatever to try and make it happen. In the meantime, he's telling us, just believe me and trust me. I'll do it for you. And now this is the way you do it. When you pray, believe you've received it. Can you? Can you believe you've received it? That's all I'm asking you to do. Believe you've received it. Take it, possess it, own it. And talk thereafter like you have it. And not like it's still coming. All right. Okay. So we're continuing to reading. We're in verse 17 now. Still in Romans chapter 4. As it is written, I have made you a father. It's talking about Abraham. Made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. Now watch this. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. God who gives life to the dead, makes the dead things live, like Lazarus and Jackie's brain. Makes dead things live, and he calls things that are not as though they were. It doesn't say he calls things that are as though they are not. That's lying. Watch this. If you're sick in your body, and you say, I am not sick, you're telling a lie. And that's not what the scripture says. If you are poor and you're having difficulties paying your bills, and you say with your mouth, you say out loud, I am not poor, you're lying. And that's not what the scripture says. So don't miss out now. Listen up clear. Listen to what I'm telling you to do. Because if you get this wrong, you'll end up lying and no faith's going to be working for you. God said of Abraham when he had no children, you are a father of many nations. God called that which was in the future as if it was in the present. And that's what I told you in the beginning. You have to use your words to call what is in the future as if it is in the present. I am not denying the present. I am not denying the present. I am calling the future. So, let me give you a little example here. This is what he's saying, okay? He calls those things that be not as though they were. So you're sick in your body. You don't say, I am not sick. What you say, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I possess my healing now. I've prayed for healing, something that I haven't got, but I call it in, and I've asked God for my healing like he got the watch. I have it now. I believe I've got it. But are you sick? Yes. You got pain in your body? Yes. And what are you saying? I'm saying that my future has arrived. I am healed by Jesus' stripes. And the present changes to line up with the words coming out of my mouth, which is what God promised I could have. Okay? Another illustration. You have a cat and a dog at home. You put the dog food down, and the cat comes and eats it. You want the dog. You want the dog to come and eat the food. You don't say, there's no cat here. There's no cat. I don't have a cat. The cat is not eating the food. I refuse to believe that the cat is eating the food. I deny this. I deny this. The cat is not here. What you say is, come here, boy. Come, pooch. Come, dog. Dog. Hello, dog. Food's ready. Come, dog. What am I doing? I'm calling what I want to be here. When dog arrives, cat goes. I don't have to chase cat. When dog arrives, cat goes. So I'm calling healing while I'm sick. I'm not focusing on the sickness. I'm focusing on the health, which is based on God's word. Get it? All right. So that's what God told us to do. So you have to use your words in a very particular way. Very particular way. Let's continue reading. Now, Abraham in verse 18 says, against all hope. Anybody had the experience of against all hope? We have. We have. Against all hope. All hope is gone. There's no way out of this. No way out of it. Impossible. Right? Has to be a miracle because all hope is gone. There's no way out. No way out. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. And so became the father of many nations. Just as it is written. Just as had been said to him. So shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. And since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. You have to understand that you and I stand in Abraham's shoes every day of our life. We face hopeless situations. Hopeless. We know there's no way out of it. No way. Your house is going to foreclose. You've been released from your job. You've been given notice you have a terminal disease. Your husband has filed for divorce. Your child is born. It's hopeless. There is no way out of it. What did Abraham do? Abraham did not deny the facts. He didn't. He faced the fact that he was 100 years old and that he was dead. He faced the fact that Sarah's womb was dead. He considered the facts, but he considered that God's promise was greater. And he became strengthened in his faith. And during that time, what did he do? He chose to come to the front of the church and give glory to God and to worship God and allow his faith to strengthen, even though he was facing impossible odds, even though he was facing the impossible, and his body and his mind and his emotions were saying, you're going to die. It's never going to turn around. You're not going to make it. And his emotions wanted to give in and be sad and depressed. And he was saying, oh, I'm just going to sit back at the church and hope somebody's got a word for me. No, he jumped up and he came to the front and he gave glory to God and he was strengthened even though he had considered it was hopeless, but he believed in something greater than that. He put his faith in God and he said, I'm fully persuaded that God has got the power, that he will do what he has promised, and that's what I'm going to believe. That is what I'm going to believe. Oh, come on. Come on. Nobody said it was easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Come on, that's the truth.
Nobody said it was easy. And when you try to walk down this road, I want to tell you something. There'll be a devil on every one of your shoulders. He'll be whispering in your ears, you crazy. There's a better church down the road that don't teach crazy stuff. Don't teach crazy stuff. Go there. Well, that's fine. You go where you get fed. You go where your prayers get answered. I'm doing my best to show you what the Word says about it. So how does God use this system? This is a system God uses for everything. He created the world that way. I'm going to give you another one here. In Judges chapter 6, and if you don't want to turn to it, it's okay. God used this method to release his faith in Gideon. Now, you know, the Midianites had attacked Israel. Everybody was beaten up. All their food was taken. And an angel of the Lord, in verse 11 of Judges chapter 6, an angel of the Lord comes and sits down under an oak tree at Ophrah, which is belonged to Joash and the Abizrite, which is and his son Gideon. And now, notice this. Gideon was busy threshing the wheat. He was busy beating up the wheat in the wine press. He was in the wine press, and that's not where you thresh wheat. Okay, that's not where you thresh it. But he was in the wine press. Why? Because he was hiding from the Midianites. Okay? He was hiding from the Midianites. So, here's this guy trying to hide. They got their bit of wheat. He's in the wine press. He's in like a dugout. He doesn't want the Midianites to know he's got wheat. Boy's afraid. Because everything has been stolen from them, right? The angel comes up to them and says to him, angel of the Lord appears to him and says to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man. Now, the old King James would say valor. The NIV tells us what valor is. You mighty man of fearless courage. I'm in the wine press. I'm hiding. And the angel comes and says, you mighty man of fearless courage. Don't be what? Don't play with me. Don't you be teasing me. Okay? Don't you be saying stuff like that. You mighty man of fearless courage. And how does he respond? Oh, so God is with us? If God is with us, how come the Midianites are stealing everything from us? He goes and said, They've come, they've taken everything. Why has this befallen us? Where are all the wonderful works that our fathers told us about, saying that the Lord brought us out of Egypt, and now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hands of Midian? All right, that's a big complaint for you mighty men of fearless courage. God is with you, right? Does that sound like he's like, yay, whatever you say? No, no. He's arguing that it isn't so. It isn't so. And the angel of the Lord turns to him and says, now go in this your might and save Israel. Did you hear what I just said? Are you listening to me? I just told you that they're stealing everything we've got. Where is the Lord with us? And you say, go in this might? What might are you talking about? Do you see what's going on here? If you don't understand the principle that I've just shared with you, you'll miss all that. What is happening is the angel of the Lord is busy releasing God's faith into the earth, right into Gideon. He's taking this Mickey Mouse, Millie Mouse, afraid, scaredy cat, coward, and he is speaking faith and courage into him and saying, I am telling you, you are a mighty man of valor. You have fearless courage. You can do all things that I've said you can do. You are who I said you are. You have who I said you have. You can do it in Jesus' name. That's what he's telling us, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what he's telling him. It's exactly what he's telling him. And this mighty man of faith says, give me a sign. Yeah, make this fleece wet. Okay, that didn't work. Next day, make the fleece dry. People, how patient is God? How patient is he with us? Verse 16, the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall smite the Midianites as one man. Did Jesus not say he's with us? Didn't he give us the Holy Spirit? Didn't he give us his word? Didn't he say, go in my name? Didn't he say that in the world you'll have problems, but be of great cheer, for I've overcome the problems, I've overcome it for you? Didn't he say you can have what you say? Didn't he say that you're healed by my stripes? Didn't he say I've met all your needs? And then we say, yeah, but, you know, oh God, but. Stop being a God Christian. Stop the butting. But. You've got to become a real sheep Christian. Start saying, amen. Amen, Lord, whatever you say, amen. Because we're a believer. We're not a butter. Okay? We don't butt when God gives us a promise. We believe it. Everybody say, amen. You got it. There you go. Okay. Let me give you some examples. I'm done. Let me give you a couple examples and that you can use this. Not on your notes. So let's start with this. Let's see how this works. Let's put it into practice. How many of you would like to hear God speak to you clearer? Like to get some direction a little clearer? So this is how you do it, okay? You take this principle. You go find a scripture, such as John 10 and verse 2. And it reads like this. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and his sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. And he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. So now I use my words to make this fulfill the need that I have to hear his voice. Instead of saying, I never hear God. I have such difficulty hearing God. How is it that you say that you can hear God? I don't hear God. Well, I can tell you why you're not hearing him. Because you've been saying you don't hear him. You know, when I was like in my 30s, I used to say this. It doesn't matter what I eat. I never put on weight. I can't put on any weight. It doesn't matter what I eat. I just never put on any weight. And now I've been saying, it doesn't matter what I eat, I put on weight. And look. And now Cindy's saying, it doesn't matter what I eat, I can't put on weight. Change what you're saying, and you'll change the way you look. You will actually change your body by your mouth. It's the control factor. It's right in your mouth. I told you last week, I used to say, I don't like sleeping. I don't like sleeping. I want to be awake and do stuff and read books and watch the Olympic Games and do some of the TVs and play on the computer, all stuff. I don't like sleeping. So insomnia comes knocking at my door. So now I have insomnia. So now I have to start taking stuff to help me sleep. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm waking at 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. I can't sleep. I understand. What's going on? What's going on? You said it, you dummy. You said it and said it and said it and said it. And my spirit now is waking me up. Time to wake up. It's 2 o'clock. Wake up. You got to think about this. You got to think about this. What about that? What about this? Oh, shut up. Shut up. Let me sleep. No, no. Can't let you sleep. Why? Because you don't like sleep. Are you kidding me? I forced myself to take medicine. I spoke myself into it. I'm going to take stuff to make me sleep. I have so changed what I say. I love sleep. And it's just about time for my nap, actually. All right. So what do I say? What do I say? This is what I say. I hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. I hear His voice. I hear the voice of my Shepherd Jesus. I hear it. And you know what? A stranger's voice I don't hear. I don't hear the voice of the evil one trying to mislead me and misguide me. I'm not open to that. I don't respond to that. I respond to His voice, and I hear His voice clearly. And it says in Scripture that those who are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. I'm a son of God, so I'm being led by the Spirit of God. So never allow that to come out of your mouth again, like, I never have the Holy Ghost lead me. I never know what to do. Shut that up. Okay? Because you're actually killing your own, you're stopping it right there. Say what you want. Call the future. I get led by the Spirit all the time. Whenever I have to make a decision, I know what's the right decision to make. Well, how do you get that right? God just said it. No, but how did you get that out to happen? Well, I just said it. No, but tell me, how did you do that? Well, I just said it. No, but there's got to be a trick to this. No, there isn't a trick. It's a principle that Jesus gave me as a believer. And He said, if you want this, do this. It's that simple. Okay, so here's another one. You want financial help. All right, so, good. We've got somebody at the back who wants financial help. Okay, so financial help. All right, financial help. So we go to a scripture. We go to a scripture. If we find a scripture, we have found the will of God. Remember that? If we find the will of God and we pray the will of God, we know He hears us. And if we know He hears us, we have it so we can possess it and we can own it. Easy enough? Okay, so we find a scripture. Here's one, Philippians 4:18. Paul writes to the Philippian church and he says, I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied. Now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ. So now how do I apply that to make my financial life turn around? I say, like the Philippians would say, I have given. That's where you start. I have given. Because when Paul spoke to the Philippians, he was saying that God's going to meet your needs because you've given. Right?
Yes.
So are you a giver? Wave your hand. I say, I'm a tither. I'm a giver. So this works for you. Okay? You got the first part taken care of. I'm a giver. So now you can say, whenever a bill arrives, whenever something comes down, you can't make it. Things are going wrong. Whoa. Stop that. What's going to come out my mouth? Not that I can't make my payments. Not that I'm never going to get out of this. You don't say that. What you say is what the Word says. So you say this. Because I have given, my God meets all my needs. And I walk in abundance. That's what He said. He said God is going to give you abundance according to His riches and glory. So you don't settle for my God's going to meet my need. You go beyond need into abundance. So because I've given, it's given to me. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over. Because I'm a tither, the windows of heaven are open above me. The evil one is stopped in my life. And I'm walking in financial abundance. Yes. And have you seen your checkbook lately?
Yes.
I'm not looking at my checkbook. I'm looking at the other book. I'm looking at the book that's meeting my needs. The bank is only the place I keep what I've got. But when I'm looking at the book, that's what's still coming too. To change my circumstances, to change what's in my life, to bring about what God wants me to have, I've got to take what God gave me. I have to take what God gave me. And I take it with my words. Okay, one more. If you're sick in your body, you need healing. Okay? Sick in your body. 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. Now watch this. For by his wounds you have been healed. For by his wounds you have been healed. So you can say, by his stripes or by his wounds, I am healed. So you're sick in your body, and what do you say? By his stripes, I am healed. Are you denying the facts? No. At no stage am I denying the facts. What I'm doing is I'm bringing into force a higher level of power. The higher level of power is the truth of God's word. God said it, therefore it's the truth. The facts have to change. They have to line up with what God said. I'm going to agree with what God said, even though my facts don't look like it. But I'm going to call what God said. All right? Jackie, are you ready to let these folks know? You can stay seated, sweetie. You don't have to stand up.
No, I want to stand up.
You want to stand up. Okay. I've learned not to argue with you. Come on. Okay. All right, let's turn. Let's see.
No, I have to turn as well. That.
Yep. You need to have a look at the crowd. You got to get them eyeball to eyeball. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you, are you healed?
I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I believe that I've already received that healing in my body. I am 100% whole. And when you look at me right now, I am whole. I am whole inside of me, and I am going to be whole on the outside as I am already in the inside.
By Jesus' stripes,
I am whole.
It's already happened?
Yes.
You've got it?
I'm whole. I'm whole. I am whole, and I want to tell you something. It's a reality.
Yes. Amen. Amen. So that's what's in her heart. That's what's in her heart. You understand? Nobody can talk her out of that. You can't talk her out of that. And I promise you, according to the word of God, what you will see is a manifestation of that coming to pass as a reality. It has to. God's word always works. Always works. And it'll work for you as well. It doesn't matter how bad. It doesn't matter how impossible your situation. It doesn't matter if you have a half a brain missing. It doesn't matter, because it's nothing to God. It's nothing to him. Amen. Let's stand up and rejoice and give God praise and honor and glorify him. And say with your mouth, say with your mouth, God is good. God is good all the time. God is good. Come on. God is good. God is good. His word is working for me. Amen. His word is working for me. In the name of Jesus, I have what I say. I have what I say. Glory.